Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Right after the midday ag news, Jimmy Music of Music Farms and Cattle Company of Sentinel, Oklahoma will be talking ag with me. After talking some ag, we will have an update from Beef Breaking News, then come back and talk some more ag with Jimmy Music. First, let's listen to Midday Ag News. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. The U.S. Supreme Court dealing a huge setback to the ethanol industry in a 6-3 ruling Friday that small oil refiners may obtain ethanol waiver extensions from the EPA even after an earlier one lapses. The High Court ruled federal law does not define the word extension, that the plain meaning of the word does not require unbroken continuity, and there is no continuity requirement in the law. Therefore, the majority reversed the Tenth Circuit in Denver that would have prevented Holly Frontier Cheyenne Refining from getting an EPA waiver extension after an earlier lapse. Renewable Fuels Association's Troy Bredenkamp had this to say.
We're extremely disappointed. Clearly, we thought that definition of extension seemed pretty clear to us, but obviously the Supreme Court saw it a different way.
RFA, Growth Energy, National Corn Growers, National Farmers Union, and others fought the Holly Frontier appeal after winning in the lower court, which also required EPA to use refiner hardships in recovering costs before granting waivers.
They recover them. They always have recovered them. That's why there really is no hardship for the refinery. And that component still exists in that 10th Circuit decision, was not challenged to the Supreme Court.
Nor was transparency, where Bredenkamp says the lower court required refiners to show proof that the renewable fuel standard is causing financial harm. Bredenkamp and his coalition are optimistic the Biden EPA will follow those parts of the 10th Circuit ruling, even amid reports EPA is seriously considering a Delta Airlines refinery request. 70 refinery waiver petitions are still pending at EPA, even after the Biden EPA reversed 3 last-minute Trump waivers. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
And now, another episode of One Soil to Live.
All right, let's take a look, Claude. I see you've been keeping it covered.
Yes, I have.
And it appears you haven't disturbed it.
I've tried really hard not to.
You're using living roots throughout the year with diverse species in rotations, right?
Just exactly as you prescribed, Doctor.
Well, I'll have to say I'm impressed with your organic matter, aggregation, and microbial activity. Claude, I'm happy to report that your soil is fit as a fiddle.
Oh, thank you. I guess it's true that soil health management systems are just what the doctor ordered.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Improving soil health can make your farm more productive, profitable, and resilient. Visit your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
Introduction of the Butcher Block Act in the House of Representatives received a warm welcome from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Legislation would establish...
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, before we start our conversation with Mr. Jimmy Music, if you guys have any questions for me or him or anything about the show, you're more than welcome to text in on our KECO text line. It's 580-225-9697. So you're more than welcome to text in. Mr. Music, welcome to our KECO Ag Show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Good to be here.
And it's a pleasure having you here for sure. Actually, it's an honor. And so tell us a little bit, tell the listeners about you, where you're from, and what you do, and what your operation exists of.
Okay, I'm actually from Sentinel. I live on a farm out west of Sentinel and have been there for most of my life. That's where I was raised up and went to school at a little community school by the name of Port. And I know everybody, all your listeners won't remember that community, but it's a great community. And I farm in that area with my son Tracy and two sons, Colt and Laramie. And It just so happens that Laramie lives on the Port School property that I used to play ball on, and Colton lived there for a while. So it was really great to be able to see my great-grandchildren riding their horse and playing, riding their bicycles and playing ball on the baseball field where my wife Judy and I played softball and baseball.
Oh, cool. So what's your operation consist of? Cattle farming? What all do you do? What all you guys have?
We try to be diversified as we can. Our main crop is wheat. Our largest acres is wheat. Our next largest is cotton, and then alfalfa. And we're growing corn now, which is, they got some new drought-tolerant corn varieties. They're really doing a great job. And that 5 or 6 inches of rain we had the last few days really makes us look like a lot better farmers.
Farmers than you are, and that rain was a blessing.
It was a blessing. We thank the good Lord for that.
Yes, we do. And how about your cattle operation?
Our cattle operation, my son and grandsons have a cow-calf operation, but our company, Music Farms, only runs steers. And we buy a 450-pound steer and try to make an 850-pound steer, and we sell them to feedlots from our own location. We used to haul a lot of them, but we haul mostly our own alfalfa. We've got about 1,200 acres of alfalfa, and it produces enough alfalfa we can do. We have contracts with dairies out at Clovis, New Mexico, Hereford, Texas, Dimmitt, Texas, and all that area out in there, and really have enjoyed that relationship with those dairymen out there. We've been going out there for about 24 years now, so it's been a good relationship, and it's been a good market for our alfalfa.
It's a great relationship. So what do you know about, since you brought up alfalfa, what do you know about the drought that's going on in New Mexico and Arizona and California right now, where they're cutting the water resources off for irrigating to those farmers down there that had, whether it's alfalfa or grass hay or just grass for their cattle? What do you know anything about that right now?
I do know some farmers in all those states. California is probably the worst state of all of them, because they have got so much political turmoil out there. They've cut off a lot of water to some of the best productive cropland in the world today is in California, Salinas Valley, and a lot of those valleys. And it is unbelievable the loss in production that they see. I just got off the phone with some people in Washington, D.C., the National Wheat Growers, and they said that the drought in South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and especially in Oregon and Washington, and I've got friends that farm in all those states, and their production on wheat and other crops has been devastated. It's really going to be tough for those guys to be able to harvest crop in a lot of those areas. And they're just now, they won't harvest some of that crop till August or September in Washington, Oregon. But they make some of that area makes 100 bushel plus an acre, and he's talking about, some of them are talking about making 40 or 50 bushel. Well, you and I know 40 or 50 bushel back here would be great, but
right. That
soft wheat out there, that it's a total wreck for them if they only make 40 or 50 bushel.
And that's white winter wheat, right?
White winter wheat, soft wheat. Yeah, macaroni wheat's what they call it.
Well, I'd seen some articles in some of the magazines and on the internet that out in Arizona, and especially New Mexico and Arizona, where the Chama River and the Rio Grande are running low and running dry, and it supplies a lot of water just to the public for drinking. And I noticed some of the articles said that, you know, they basically shut off the water to the farmers because, there's no water. The rivers are about dry anyway, so there's no water.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. It affects everybody. Those farmers that have loans to make production to raise a crop, they're not going to be able to pay those loans back because they don't have production to pay them back.
There's no turnaround.
There's no turnaround.
Yeah. If you guys just joined us, this is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO FM. And I have with me today as my special guest, Mr. Jimmy Music of Sentinel, Oklahoma. He's the operator, the big boss for Music Farms and Cattle Company. And I just want to let you guys know who we were talking to if you just joined us. So how was wheat harvest this year?
Wheat harvest went very well. The timing was just right on the weather. Most everybody got done before these last big rains. Had a little bit of slow up right at the very beginning, but it went very well, very smooth. And overall, I think everybody had an average production or a little better in most cases. So I was really thrilled with what I saw across the countryside.
How about the quality? I heard test weights from 62 to 64. Protein levels were 11 to 12. It was a good year.
The highest quality I've ever saw in my lifetime. It's hard to imagine wheat testing 65 pounds to a bushel and protein being 12 to 14 and a half for 15%. It's unbelievable. And they're paying a premium for that now. The elevators are, and that's really great. The farmers are seeing some benefits of some really good technology that's come out with crop production, crop science. Dr. Carver's done a great job with those wheat varieties at Stillwater, and we raise some of them every year. And it's been a really thrill to see those varieties come out with such good production and good yield and test weight and protein.
Speaking of technology, you and I spoke before the show started, and I remember the first time I ever used a round baler was, I think, 1982, and it was a John Deere 510. Did you think you'd ever dream of seeing the precision technology we have with equipment today?
Never in my lifetime. I started farming in 1962, so you can imagine.
That's when I was born.
what that would be like. It's just unbelievable to see those tractors that guide yourself down through the field and to be able to make those straight cotton rows without it being a challenge. And it's really been great. What a addition it's been to the productivity of the farmers across the countryside.
Right. And like the new swathers today, disc-spine swathers. I mean, I'm sitting here with my John Deere 4895 going back and forth about 4 or 5 miles an hour, and I had a friend come help me cut some wheat pasture or wheat hay for a guy over there south of Sayre, and he passed me 4 times before I got to the other end, and doing it just as good a job.
Yeah, we're running 12 to 15 mile an hour with ours, depending on how level the fields are. So it's amazing how much production you can get with one piece of equipment. We're actually cutting 1,200 acres of alfalfa one machine, so you can't have down days, you can't have off days. Every day's got to be good, and of course they're not.
And it's, and you know, weather, Mother Nature predicts everything we do. She's just, you know, she's going to say, okay. So you, speaking of Mother Nature, you were talking earlier that was the most bales of hay you ever put up that been rained on.
We just finished our second cutting of hay, and it's the largest cutting of hay we've ever produced in my lifetime. And we didn't put up a single bale, a big square bale that didn't have a shower or some kind on it, from 2/10 to an inch and a half. So it was pretty tough. But we've got a market for that type of hay too. So we're tickled to have that. We're sending hay to Brahms Dairy now too, and that we're enjoying that relationship. We'll make 2 loads a day to Brahms, so that helps us when we're in a tight spot.
So do you test every field and every cutting?
All the hay that we put in the barn, we run a test on it where we know what we're doing. We put all of our hay in the barn in the summertime and don't move very little of it with our own trucks. But we buy hay off our neighbors in the summertime, and then we use our own hay to fill in the gap in the wintertime.
I got you. We've got to take a break right now, and we'll be right back. I'm talking to Jimmy Music from Sentinel, Oklahoma, about ag in general. And here's beef news. Thank you.
Hi, folks. Calvin Wright, Beef Industry News, and coming up, RCAF, Concentration and Globalization Behind Cattle Market Issues. We'll explain in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides, made for this. Ingenia herbicide is a U.S. EPA-restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the freshest lineup of SUVs in America for everyone. Because the SUVs of the future aren't built for a few. They're built for America. Ford SUVs, drive one today. Based on AutoSource Incorporated data obtained on 10/5/20. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
As the U.S. Senate Ag Committee focused on potential cattle market manipulation this week, RCAF USA says concentration and globalization are the core problems. Separate from the committee hearing, RCAF submitted comments to USDA this week, responding to a request for input on transforming America's food system. RCAF, Ranchers, Cattlemen's Action Legal Fund, United Stock Growers of America, points out four multinational beef packers control 85% of the fed cattle market and 80% of the boxed beef market. Now, the comments explain, quote, "They've now consolidated their control over both supply side and demand side," end quote. To address this, RCAS' first recommendation for reversing the effects of globalization is to require all beef sold in America to be labeled with a country of origin label. Doing so, according to RCAF, consumers can begin making purchasing choices between foreign beef and domestic.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Mr. Jimmy Music of Sentinel, Oklahoma, with Music Farm and Cattle Company. We're talking ag. We talked earlier about your phone call in Washington. But before we get into that conversation you had with them, can you tell our listeners what board you've served on to help you with what the knowledge you got right now?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to serve on the State Wheat Grower Board, and it was a privilege to do that, to represent Oklahoma wheat growers across the countryside. And then I had gone to some national meetings and got an opportunity to serve on the National Wheat Board, and that's a five-step program. You start out as secretary, then your treasurer, and then your vice president, and then your president, and you serve an active past president's role. So I was on there for several years and got really acquainted with Washington, D.C. In 2018, when they passed the farm bill, I happened to be president. I got to meet the president, President Trump, and got to invite him to come to my farm in Oklahoma. Now, he hasn't made it yet, but maybe he'll make it yet.
You never know. He might show up.
Anyway, I got to be there when they signed the farm bill and meet him and have a conversation with him. And that's when I invited him to come to our farm. So he did promote some trade deals across the countryside that's really been beneficial to the farmers across the country. Because of those trade programs that he came up with, our exports to China have gone up this past year 400%.
I seen that.
I didn't say 40%. I
said
400%.
Yes.
Huge. And it's just unbelievable. Our use of wheat products, what is so gratifying is our use of wheat products has gone up 60% during the pandemic. So some of those wives are out baking now because they're using lots of flour. So we're tickled to death to see that. But 60% is a huge amount for domestic consumption has gone up 60% in the past year.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's great for the wheat growers. So we were just talking about a conversation you had with somebody in Washington. Can you go in a little bit more detail of what all that was about? Because it's not only to do with wheat, it's to do with soybeans, corn, etc.
Yeah, we're, as state and national wheat growers, we're partners with the Oklahoma Wheat Commission and the National Wheat Associates. And so we, everything that has to do with wheat, we work together on those issues. They are the production side, and we are the legislative side, and we spend a lot of time in D.C. We have an office up there two blocks from the Capitol, and I'm going to be there in July and visit them. But what's so ironic about that role that we play in Washington, D.C., we sometimes are only farmers a lot of those legislators see, because when we go to their offices, a lot of times they never see a farmer. And so we talk to them about issues. We've got some great legislators from Oklahoma up there. Frank Lucas does a great job. And when we go to see Senator Lankford and Senator Inhofe and talk to them about farm issues, they all say, well, I've got to talk to Congressman Lucas about this issue first before I decide what to do. But they're very receptive to the farmers and listen. They have a listening ear, so we're glad. What we're concerned about is there's some new EPA regulations that's coming down the pass that's really going to be a challenge for wheat growers, and it doesn't matter where you grow soybean or corn or cotton or whatever, those EPA regulations are going to affect everybody. They've just started reinstigating the waters of the U.S., which would devastate agriculture. You know, when you can regulate a mud hole out in your front yard, they may have overstepped their bounds. And so we're really concerned about that's coming down the pike on those EPA regulations. So
that water bill came out when President Obama,
I
remember right,
yeah,
was president, and it caused a big stir
Absolutely. And it's going to be worse than the big stir if they bring that back up and try to regulate the waters of the U.S. So it's really going to be a challenge. But we've got some good legislators. We just need to get their ear and make sure that they understand what's going on in ag, because a lot of people don't understand that. You know, the average consumer out there doesn't have a clue what it takes to raise a crop. You go in and prepare that ground, and you plant it, and you take care of it all those time. And if you're not careful, it comes a drought or it comes a hailstorm, you don't have any production. They don't understand the challenge that
you
have.
And you just can't start right over.
And you don't get to start right over. You have to wait another year to start over. So it's really a challenge. But we're hoping to educate the consumers as well as those politicians in D.C. And we got a great staff up there that do just exactly that. They're there every day on the Hill, visiting with legislators and trying to inform them what's going on across the countryside.
If there's anything you can tell consumers or just the average everyday American citizen out there right now about what cattlemen and farmers do for them, what would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them we do something that's really very unimportant. All we do is feed them and take care of them. So it's really amazing that, you know, the most certain thing about our cultures is the uncertainty of it.
Right.
That's just the way it is. And you put a lot of time and effort and money into a crop, and you don't know whether you're going to have one or not. You know, the gambling aspect of farming is unbelievable. You take a chance every time you put in a crop. But we have a lot of people out there that have a lot of confidence. We have some great commercial banks around this countryside. We got good ag farm credit people that really do a great job, and we're glad to have those people out there that support and back the farmers. And my comment to our consuming public around the world is show your appreciation to those farmers a little more. Every countryside in this country, we've traveled overseas, my wife and I, and every country we've ever been to, appreciate greatly their farmers. They hold them on a pedestal. Go to Japan, and those farmers are really...
like royalty.
Royalty, they are. Because they do something that some people think is unimportant. They produce the food and fiber across this country to take care of the citizens.
They do. And then, so a little fact that you told me earlier was in 2018, if I got the year right, you traveled over 100,000 miles in the world, and your family didn't remember you, or they just didn't want to remember
you. Well, I came back home, I had to introduce myself. So, but it's all right. My son and my grandsons do a great job taking care of the farming operation. But it's a challenge when I'm gone. It's a blank spot. But it was really important that I do that. I took on that role saying I was going to perform my job and my duties. And I'm a political person, and I like going to D.C. And my first trip to D.C. was when I was 18 years old on my senior trip. And I went to D.C. about 37 or 8 times in 2018. So I made it up there and back numerous times.
You got some pretty good credit on your flyer miles, don't you?
I did. I got some pretty good credit.
Thank you so much for coming in. Is there anything else you would like to share to our listeners right now?
No, I just like for them to be informed about what's going on in agriculture across the countryside. Lots of things going on that's going to affect us, and we need the consumer support. And it's really important that they give us support where we can provide a cheap, nutritious, wonderful product for them.
Well, Mr. Music, I appreciate you coming in. And I'm going to take a break real quick, and we're going to beef break. And you're listening to It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We'll be right back.
Beef Break Even, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
Oklahomans know the value of a hard day's work. At Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance, we've protected generations of Oklahomans who start the day before the sun and don't come home until the work is finished. From livestock to equipment, we've got you covered. People you know, insurance you trust. Proudly serving Oklahomans for 75 years. Visit OKFBinsurance.com today to find an agent near you. Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
and we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Good day, folks. Calvin Wright with Beef Breakeven. Feedlots are only a few weeks away from being current on fed cattle supplies, according to Dr. Daryl Peel, livestock market economist, Oklahoma State University.
In the near term, yes. I think we've moved a lot of cattle. The marketings in the last two cattle on feed reports have been very impressive. We really saw the peak in about February, and since then we pulled them down. And we know that the numbers in general have been coming down. We're trying to work through this current pipeline of cattle. We got delayed because of the pandemic last year, and that's what really set up the problems we've had all this year. But we're close.
As the market sort through the numbers, USDA and politicians ramping up efforts to expand packer capacity and strengthen the Packers and Stockyards Act.
There's an awful lot of political motion out there right now to do something, and it really reflects the turmoil that we've been in for really about 2 years and the producer discontent that's out there, but it's being translated into some of these political initiatives. In the short run, I think we're going to fix our immediate problem because cattle numbers are going to drop back below the current capacity here again in a matter of weeks. We may be almost there right now, but it's not quite clear yet. But longer term, the potential for the industry to grow will depend on some long-term investment in infrastructure. And we're kind of at the point for the first time in many, many years when the industry really needs to think about that.
That's Dr. Daryl Peel, Oklahoma State University livestock market economist. In other news, the scientists with the Agricultural Research Service recently announced a new experimental vaccine to protect cattle from the bacterium that causes Yoni's disease. That's a chronic intestinal disorder that can cause diarrhea, weight loss, poor health, and sometimes death in cattle.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
We're back. How about all this rain we got? Again, thanks Mr. Jimmy Music for being here with us. He has a lot of knowledge. He knows a lot of people. And the purpose of this show is to do local updates, but he also knows what's going on the state level and on the national level. And it's very important that the public's informed what's going on. But yeah, how about all this rain? It looks like everyone was blessed to get anywhere from 1 to 5 inches in our entire listening area. Some places got more. There was an area southwest of Elgin, I understood, got almost 13 inches of rain. We don't need that much at one time, but they got it. The great thing about the rain was it soaked up really good. There was runoff in isolated places, but for the most part, it soaked up. And a good thing about soaking up good is with this weather that we're going to have this week and this tomorrow, 77 for a high, and the rest of the week's in the mid-80s, is it's not just hot and dry again right after a rain. So this moisture actually is going to stay in the area for quite a while. So today we have 82 for a high with a 60% chance of rain. Tomorrow, get your winter jacket out, 77 for a high and a 70% chance of rain. All week looks mild and rainy. There is an aerial flood watch till tomorrow afternoon in our whole listening area. We're going to take a short break real quick and listen to the 3-minute market. And then Jerry Nine with the Woodward Livestock will give his update. So stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Good day, folks. I'm Calvin Wright, First Oklahoma Ag. And let's check the midday markets on this Monday. Live cattle June down 67, 122.15. August down 120, 121.60. Feeder cattle August down $2, 157.55. September down 137, 159.87. Lean hogs July up 262 at 104.57. August up 277, 102.55. July corn up 22.75 at 659.25. September up 19, 549.25. Kansas City wheat, July up 20, 620 and a quarter. September up 21 at 630. Chicago wheat, July up 15, 652. September up 17, 657, 3/4. July cotton down 126 points at 85.17. October up 66 at 88.70. July soybeans up 29 at 1358, 3/4. August up 33, 3/4 at 1336 and a half. Crude oil, August, down 94 cents, 73.11. September, down 93 at 72.40. We'll check cattle auction numbers here in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides, made for this. Ingenia Herbicide is a U.S. EPA-restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the freshest lineup of SUVs in America for everyone. Because the SUVs of the future aren't built for a few. They're built for America. Ford SUVs, drive one today. Based on AutoSource Incorporated data obtained on 10-5-20. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
The Apache Livestock Auction final numbers for June 24th. Slaughter cattle last week, 249. Last reported, 324. Last year, 141. Feeder cattle last week, 1,514. Last reported, 1,456. Last year, 1,876. Replacement cattle last week, 56. Last reported, 48. Last year, 54. Now, compared to previous week, feeder steers, $3 lower. Feeder heifer steady to $5 lower. Steer and heifer calves not tested. Quality, good to attractive with good demand. Slaughter cows, $1 to $2 lower. Slaughter bulls, steady. Total of 305 cows and bulls sold, 82% going to Packer.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 22nd, we sold 1,002 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, June the 24th, we sold 3,565 kids and feeders for a total of 4,567 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 8,150, with our thin cows bringing 51 to 69.5, bulls bring 78 to 105. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed, 7,350 to 78, with our 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 875 to 1075. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 900 to 1125. With our better 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1785 to 2275. With our 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1085 to 1525. 9 and older pairs, 1200 to 1300. Hunter steer cattle, 350 to 4 weight steers, 170 to 174. 5 to 550, 155 to 166. 6 to 650, 151 to 162. 7 to 750, 140 to 153 and a half. 8 to 850, 137 to 147.50, 9 to 950 steers, 128 to 140, 1,000 50 pound steers, 123.5 to 134.50, and 11 to 1150 steers, 120 to 121. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 147 to 164, 5 to 550, 130 to 150, 175, 6 to 650, 135 to 147, 7 to 750 heifers, 136 to 142, with their 8 to 850 heifers, 125 to 133.75, 9 to 950, 111 to 126, and 1,000 50-pound heifers, 113.50 to 115.50. For this Tuesday, June the 29th, we will have 45 bred cows pairs, another 25 pair. We also have got 6 pair that are 2 years old, more by sale time. That'll be our last sale. We will break for a week. After that, no sale Thursday, July the 1st, and no sale Tuesday, July the 6th. So the help can take their family on vacation. Thanks again, Jerry Nine at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Hey, we're back. Hey, this is the beginning of week 2 of my new show here on KCO. Today in Ag. You guys, bear with me. I'm going to get better at this, but I promise you we're going to have some great guests here every day. Whether it's live or on the phone, so far it's been great. We had great guests last week. We had a really great one today with Mr. Music here. He's got a lot of knowledge. But tomorrow on the show, Lacey Swope, Channel 9 weather lady, will be joining us. We will be talking weather, 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 family and outdoors. She's a hoot to visit with, so don't miss the show tomorrow. Today in Ag can be heard on 96.5 KECO. You can download Paragon Communications on your phone if you can't get the radio on if you're traveling. Also, you can also go to KECOFM.com, then go to the on-air tab, click on Today in Ag, to listen to any of the shows. Don't forget to pick up a copy of the Penny News. It's full of ag items along with last week's sale barn report from all of our local cattle sales. So that's all I have for you today. So have a great day and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My party station.
96.5 KECO.
On July 1st, 1994, Barbara Dyson Ford was born. And on Thursday, July 1st, 2021, on their 27th birthday, they're throwing a big party. You, my friend, are invited to stop by the dealership from 11 till 1 that day and enjoy some delicious food. Ford Motor Company representatives will be there to present BD with two service awards. So David and Bruce.